A few moments ago, we heard of the lives of women and young girls in Ethiopia being restricted and challenged because they have no access to water. We also heard what a dramatic difference the provision of clean water supply can make to women and girls, and indeed whole communities. Water, life-giving, life-refreshing, life-invigorating, a basic human need. And access to water is a powerful symbol of the way in which we are divided as a world. For the rich, a water shortage usually means not being able to water their gardens. For the poor, a water shortage means no food, no health, life and death decisions. And access to water sometimes divides communities. In 2015, in Sirihar in Nepal, the family of 65-year-old Pulakit Malik Dom were forbidden for using the village well. Why? Because they belonged to the untouchable Dalit caste. And those who belonged to the higher castes in the village refused to share with them the same water supply. The police were called in. It's illegal to do that in Nepal. And they allowed this family access to the well. And so the rest of the village, in protest, then stopped using that well themselves because they were not going to share a well with a Dalit caste. And I could have chosen other stories that are found on news websites around South Asia. Many Christians in South Asia come from the untouchable Dalit class. And they have known this kind of discrimination themselves. It's then no wonder that the story of the woman from Samaria at the well is a particular favorite of theirs. It speaks to their situation. They have known what it is to be shunned at the village well. They understand a woman who dares only to make her trip to the well in the heat of the midday sun so that she will be confident of being alone. No recriminations, no stares, no insults. She is clearly this woman of Samaria, the untouchable woman from her village, the outsider, the gossiped about. And these Dalit women have been in her shoes, knowing what it is to be rejected, cut off, unwanted, treated as dirt. But they also feel in this story the sheer surprise of this woman when Jesus asks her for a drink. Jesus the man, Jesus the Jew, Jesus the rabbi teacher, asking a woman, a Samaritan woman, an outcast Samaritan woman, for a drink of water. Sharing the same well, sharing the same drinking vessel, sharing the same water. They share her surprise because they have so seldom been in her shoes when it comes to this sort of experience. They knew that for this woman it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. They understand how she would have been taken by surprise, knocked off balance. This woman coming to the well at midday to draw her water is a potent symbol of a woman who is an outsider, an unwanted neighbor, but like everyone else, still in need of water. And then Jesus asks this woman for a drink. And this becomes an even more potent symbol of his healing the wounds of our broken lives and our broken societies. In his simple request for a drink, a revolution has begun to happen in the life of this woman. And the Dalit South Asians, in reading this story, feel the reverberations of this in their own lives. It is as if in speaking to this woman and asking her for a drink, Jesus has not only crossed the dividing line between male and female, Jew and Samaritan, but he has crossed all divides. He is reaching out, sharing a drink of water with all of the unwanted and all of the untouchables of the world. And whenever we feel unwanted, untouchable, rejected, an outcast, on the edge, even those times when we have pushed ourselves onto the edge because we feel unworthy, we can hear this story and feel Jesus reaching out to us and wanting to share that common thing of drinking water with us because he treats us as equals. But then in this story, Jesus goes much further than simply making a social point by this powerful gesture, although the social point is important and needs to be understood and followed. He not only meets her and accepts her where she is, he then also wants to take her to an altogether different place in her life, to open up a new world for her. Not only a world where men and women can live in community, overcoming the power dynamics of a gendered world. Not only a world where Jews and Samaritans can share a conversation as two equal human beings, but also a world where she will be opened up to the wider, deeper, broader horizons of community with God. Jesus invites this woman to learn to live more deeply, to connect with a part of herself that had been neglected, repressed, and buried. And he does this by getting into conversation, a conversation where they seem to be talking at cross purposes. But Jesus uses this conversation about drinking water to make an offer to her of living water. Now, in the same way that jokes that rely on puns don't translate well into another language, so the misunderstanding at the heart of this conversation between Jesus and the woman doesn't translate well into English. And that's because the phrase living water has got a double meaning. Because of the life-giving properties of water, the phrase living water at that time was used to describe any fresh source of water, any flowing water. So it's no wonder that the woman thinks that when Jesus talks about offering living water, she thinks he's talking about the offer of a spring in her own backyard, her own personal water supply. Was Jesus going to provide her with a never-ending supply of water that would outdo the gift of Jacob? But what Jesus actually wanted to do was to open up a conversation with this woman on a totally different level. He wanted this woman to open up to an experience of life that was at a deeper level. He wanted to open this woman to part of herself that she had kept deeply hidden beneath the demands and distractions of daily living. He wanted her to assuage her thirst not only for water, but for the presence of God in her life. He wanted to find a well that was deep within her, if only she could connect. When Jesus says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." When Jesus says this, a woman replies, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. I think Jesus could equally have said this to her. At least he could have said, "The well is deep." Because the well that Jesus was inviting her to draw from was indeed deep. That's that deep well of connection with God. But I don't think Jesus would have said to her, "But you have nothing to draw with." He would have said the exact opposite, because that was what he was saying to her. He knew that she could draw from this well of God's life-giving, life-renewing presence. Indeed, she could draw from this well, and it would become for her a well springing up to eternal life. Jesus uses this wonderful poetic imagery to speak of the life-refreshing, life-invigorating, life-renewing presence of God in our hearts. If only we will connect that deep well in our hearts. But her mind is stuck at a more prosaic level. She doesn't get the poetry. She misses the invitation in the words of Jesus to enter into something deeper in her life. She hears the words, but she's stuck in her own world of having to come to this well to get away from, to get water away from public gaze. And all that she can think of to make her life better is if she has her own water supply. She doesn't want to have to keep going through the humiliation of it day after day. And so it's easy to understand her reaction. Why should she explore all of this other stuff about living water when the everyday problems of daily life just keep mounting up for her? And yet what Jesus knows is that it is only with a deep connection with God that she will find that transformation of life that will make all the difference for her, even for her. By doing this, he's not ignoring her personal problems. What he wants to do is to give her a new resource in order to face this world. He wants to give her a new understanding of herself as a person in God's presence that will equip her to live a transformed life. He wants her to reach down into the depths of her life and discover a thirst that she has forgotten or never known, and find the resources to quench that thirst in the life and presence of God. He knows that he is speaking to a woman, as are all women and as are all people, whose well is deep. And he wants her to stop living on the surface, to stop living for the immediate, and to delve deep into her heart to meet with God. Now, she probably thought of herself as a pretty shallow woman. That's the story that everybody had told her because of her checkered life history. Five husbands, living now with a man not her husband. The pressures on her just to survive with any kind of dignity would have been huge, especially when it's usually the women who are to blame and bear the shame for this kind of relationship. She would have carried around with herself all the cares of the world, and she probably saw herself as shallow, eagerly searching for whatever scraps of attention and warmth she could find from anyone. And no one treated her seriously as a person. But Jesus does. He doesn't see her as shallow. He sees her as a woman with a deep well and with a depth of life where even she, could find that relationship with God. And when Jesus offers living water to her, he is offering living water to all of us, asking all of us to discover that way of living where we discover that there is a deep well to draw from in our lives, to connect with the presence of God, to discover that our lives are not just the immediate and the urgent and the surface and the now, but they are the deep, the eternal, the really important. You see, we end up filling our minds with all of the things that press in upon this world, and the everyday things seem to be so pressing. They keep on coming to us. We cannot get coronavirus out of our minds, off our news feeds, out of our conversations. It's all around us. It makes life feel more complicated and it seems to be overwhelming us. But in the midst of all of the things that touch our lives, all of the things that our minds keep racing off to, Jesus says, dig deep. There is a deep well. Discover the presence of God, the life-giving presence of God. And it means taking time, taking space, finding the connection, stopping, being still, and opening ourselves to the presence of God, the living water of God's presence that fills us with life, welling up to eternal life. For this woman, for all women, for all people, the well is deep, and the promise of living water is for us all.